The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hey, I have a question for all of you, but especially kids. I want you to think about something that you use to measure with. I can, off the top of my head, think of maybe two things, but I bet you can come up with more. Karis, what's something that you use to measure something with? Okay, a tape measure. How many of you have a tape measure at your house that hasn't been destroyed by the children pulling it out too far? So a tape measure. And the nice thing about that is that you push the button, it goes back up, right? Okay, what else could you use? Aubrey. What? A ruler, which is like a tape measure, but stiff. And it was my mother's weapon of choice when it came time. And you've got the short plasticky kind that you can put on your desk at school and go, did you ever do that? No? Okay. So a ruler, a yardstick. Okay. So that uses length. Okay, yes. A measuring cup. Oh, that's good. Because you have one of those in your kitchen drawer. Not the kitchen drawer that has the pens and the tablets and the erasers and the tops of a Pez, you know. But the other kitchen drawer where you actually store stuff that you use, there's a measuring cup inside. And you use that to do what with? Jesselyn, what, if you had a measuring cup, what would you measure with it? Okay, yeah, if you're going to make soup, I guess, or other things. You could put milk, something liquid. Does it always have to be something liquid that you put in the measuring cup? What else could you put in a measuring cup? What? There's two different kinds of measuring cups? I never knew that. Karis, what else could you use to measure with? Teaspoon, tablespoon, capital T, B, smaller case, T. Okay, good. Anything else that you would use to measure with? Yes, Richard? Scale. So a scale to measure how heavy something is. I also saw a neat thing where they had, it was a wheel that you push like that and has a counter on it. And what do you use that for? Yeah, distance. Good. Somebody had a hand up. Who was it? Okay. That's really good because it's a different kind of measuring, isn't it? When Noah went to the Department of Motor Vehicles, which is a marvelous place to go. You must try that sometimes. You stand in line for, what, 2 or 3 minutes maybe, and then you take a test, and you hand the lady back the test, and then she takes a measure of sorts, and she compares the answer sheet. And in Noah's case, she marked the 2 or 3 that he got wrong, and he passed the test. That's how she knew that he had passed the test. Very good. Is there any others? Yes. A clock. A thermometer. It measures the outside temperature. Okay, good. Anybody else? Something to measure. Yes.
The approval of others.
Oh, that's good. Steve says the approval of others. So, you know, when you're a kid and you're doing something and you look over at mom and dad, and they're either going, or, right, Karis, uh-huh. Oh, that's good. One of the little things you might have out on a fence post or the top of your house to see how much it's rained. Although we don't really need those here this time of year, do we? So I've been thinking a lot about measuring things. How do you measure stuff? How do you measure stuff that matters? So, you know, I love words, and I took a few minutes last night to look at the definition of measure and count. You might want to jot some of these down, but tell me what you think a definition of measure might be. It can be a noun, but it can also be a verb. Can you give me an example of measure as a noun? Anybody? A measure of your goodness, a unit, right, of measurement or standard of measurement. This particular definition is also a quantity, degree, or proportion. For example, in large measure, he was a friendly fellow, all right? And then also for you musical people, a measure is also a length of space between two bar lines. Does that ring a bell, right? For those of you who know how to read music. So the space between two upright bar lines is a measure. Okay, that's measure as a noun. What about measure as a verb? Can you think of how to use the word measure as a verb? So measuring the temple. Good, we might use one of those wheel things like I was talking about. In fact, Richard, one of these was to mark off or deal out by way of measurement. Okay, good. Another one was to judge, or this goes back to something Steve said, to judge or appraise by comparison with something or someone else. To measure one particular college over another one, right? Another one was to ascertain the extent, dimensions, quantity, capacity, especially by comparison. Okay, now over to the word count. How would you use the word count as a verb? Count as a verb. We're going to reckon. We're going to calculate. We're going to compute. Or if something has merit, that doesn't count for much. If something is worth something, good. What about as a noun? Can you use the word count as a noun? The act of counting, reckoning, calculation. So a count of hands showed that 31 people were going to go to the thingamajig next weekend. Okay, the number representing the result of a process of counting. So the total number. So the count for the day was 27. Okay, well, I want you to take your Bibles, please, and I want to whisk through several places in Scripture that use the word measure, or a variation of the form of the word measure, or the word count. And as we're going through, I want you to see if you can draw some conclusions about how God measures and how we measure and what's the difference. So the first one, over to Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7, verse number 2. This is Jesus talking, and it comes under the heading of judging others. Now, hold on there just a minute. What do we do when we are judging someone else? What is that about? We're measuring worth. What is a judge judging when he's judging? He's applying a standard, kind of like that idea that we had with the DMV, where you apply the answer, you know, thingamajig with what the person did. Okay, so Jesus is talking about judging. Matthew 7 and verse 2 says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged." And this is the part I wanted you to see. "And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That's powerfully scary. That's really, really, that's some heavy stuff. What do you make of that? He says, don't judge in verse 1. Or you're going to be judged. Verse 2, he says, in the same way you judge others, you're going to be judged. Next one is in Mark 4. This is an interesting one. Jesus, again, is talking, and he's talking about the lamp on the lampstand. Are you going to hide it under a bushel basket? Are you going to put it on a stand? In verse 21, he says, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or in a bed? Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out. Then in verse 24, he says, consider carefully what you hear. Now look at this. With the measure you use, it will be measured out to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So in this particular case, Jesus is not talking about judgment so much as he's talking about blessing and knowledge. Look at that again. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider what I'm saying to you. I'm giving you some good stuff, Jesus is saying. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. What do you make of that one? What are you using? What is the device that you're using? How big is your cup? If you're sowing much, you will reap much. If you're sowing little, you will reap little. You need to be careful what you hear and how you apply it, because that same kind of measure will be given back to you. If you're taking in good stuff and giving out good stuff, you will be given more. Not necessarily talking about wealth or possessions, but of knowledge. My mind just flashed back to youth group about 1978, and I was just sharp enough to be able to see where God was at work in somebody else's life or in a part of the church or youth group, but I was just stupid and dull enough not to want to go over there. Somebody was trying to plant into my life, but I wasn't receiving it, and consequently, my spiritual life was pretty dull, pretty atrophied. Here's another one for you. Look at Luke 6:38. This is the one where Jesus is talking about giving. But it also comes under the heading, at least in my Bible, of judging others. Verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When Roberta bakes something in the kitchen and she needs to measure something that's, I suppose, a dry measure, she takes her dry measurement cup and she gets the right amount in it, and then she probably doesn't leave it heaped up. She probably makes sure that it's a good measure. It's filled to the fullness and no more. But Jesus says, you give, and it's going to be given back to you. Not only a good measure, but pressed down, shaken together. You know, some contents do settle in shipment. Have you noticed this? You open your Cheerios, and there's like, you know, eight of them in the bottom of the container. It's as if God says, fine, you're going to judge by widgets? Okay. Really, there's a lot more I have in mind for you than just widgets, but if that's what you're really interested in. All right, take a look, please, at John 17:13. This is in the priestly prayer of Jesus, where he prays for himself, where he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. And in this particular place, Jesus is praying about joy. Jesus says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still with in the world, so that they may have the full measure of what? My joy within them. Can you measure joy? Can you do it? Jesus is talking about the full measure, all of it. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. How do you measure joy? Is it even possible? Keep that in mind. Look over now at Ephesians 3, and then there'll be another one following in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 3:19. So Paul is saying, this is my prayer for you, church. This is my prayer for you, Ephesians. This is that passage that you know. I'll back up a little bit. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. There's some measurements, yeah? Look at it. It's almost like we're looking at an architectural drawing. To look at how wide and long and high and deep, say that with me, wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Can that be measured? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the what? Measure of all the what? I pray that they would have my joy, the fullness of my joy. And now Paul is saying, I want you to have this kind of measure, the measure of all the fullness of God. Can all the fullness of God be measured? Yes or no? You can make a case for saying no. You could also make a case for saying yes in Christ Jesus. Because Scripture also tells us that all of the fullness of the deity of God was to be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And yet, can you measure Christ? No. The word crops up again, doesn't it, in the very next verse. Now to him who, God, this same God about whom I want you to be filled to all of his measure, he's able to do immeasurably more. There's another one in Ephesians 4:13. Will you look there, please, next chapter, Ephesians 4:13? This is the passage where Paul is talking about how gifts were given. Some were given to be teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors, etc. Verse 13 says, we're all going to be built up together until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Heart and head, they go together, not just one. And become mature, attaining to the what? Whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. Wow. Two more to look at right quick. Like, look at 2 Peter 1:8. This is the one that we're memorizing. The word I want you to look at here is measure. This is the one that's on your card as well. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So it was faith, knowledge, godliness, perseverance, self-control, etc. If you possess these in increasing measure, your budgets and the number of people who are coming to your worship service, if you possess those in increasing measure, then you will not be ineffective. Is that what he says? No. If you were able to increase your budget by 20% of this year over last year, no. He says faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control. Revelation 11:2, I want you to just notice this one. I found it and thought at first that it might not have anything whatsoever to do with what we're talking about, but I think there's a point to be made. Revelation 11:2, it's in the middle of a prophetic passage having to do with end things. Revelation 11:2. Let's start with one, though. I was given a reed like a what? Measuring rod. And was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. Interesting. God is telling John in this vision to measure the church and to count the number of worshipers there. Isn't that interesting? But exclude the outer court, he says. Don't measure it, because it's been given over to the Gentiles, and they will trample on the holy city. Two places I want you to look at the word count, please. Look at Romans 4:8. It says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count. What is it we're talking about counting? Sin. Who's doing the counting? God. Keep that. Actually, he's not counting it. The blessed man is not being counted. Keep that in mind. Sorry, there's another one in Romans. Look at Romans 6:11, would you? Two pages over to 6:11. Paul says to the Romans, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin. Who's doing the counting? Count yourself dead to sin. Why? Because you're alive in Christ. Now here's the last one about counting. Look at James 5, and then we're going to talk about some conclusions. Boy, we've been all over the Bible today, huh? James 5:11 says this, as you know, brothers, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You are counted among the blessed if you persevere. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full. Who's full? The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. All right, let's draw some conclusions. We've read a lot of Bible verses today. Let me ask you some questions. What kind of stuff does God count? Okay, fruit of the Spirit. God's interested in that. He measures those things. Good. What else does God count? Okay, that ties in with what Barb just said. It counts what you give out. We have been measured out certain blessings and knowledge and faith, and there's some responsibility with that. Do you remember back a few weeks ago when David did some counting? Do you remember that? David wanted to take account of his fighting men. Do you remember that? It was a census. And it wasn't so much that he was wrong in taking the census, because God even directed that they count their people from time to time. Why was it wrong that David did it this time? Do you remember? It was the reason for taking the census. It was the motivation behind the census. There are some things that we should attempt to measure. But did you notice in the passages that we read today that the things that we are asked to measure, get this now, the things we are asked to measure are the things that are ultimately measureless. Let me say that again. The things that we are asked to measure are ultimately the things that are measureless. And that's why I think we default to nickels and noses, because we can do that. My teacher, Mrs. Cook, in business, in high school, taught me how to balance a checkbook. And I can do that to this day. But I can't measure the fullness of God. I can't do it. I'm just sensitive enough to see where God is at work, but sometimes I'm just stupid enough not to want to go over there. So I stand over here and I count my nickels and I count my noses. The stuff that God asks us to measure in some ways are ultimately the things that are unmeasurable. Here's something I noticed. When we think of measuring, we assume that the benefit is inward to us. Every time we think about measuring something, we are assuming that the benefit is this way. But oftentimes in the Bible, when it speaks of measuring, it often infers that the benefit is outward to others. So there's a good metric to talk about measuring stuff. Why are we measuring it, and are we assuming that the benefit is inward, or are we measuring it for the purpose of looking at the outward benefit? One final thought for you, and it's that Revelation verse. Do you remember the verse in Revelation that we looked at? God said, I want you to measure the temple, I want you to count the worshipers, but I don't want you to measure what? The outer court. Who belongs to the outer court? Yeah, the ungodly, the people who do not know God. It occurs to me that we should note that there may be some things that God commands us to exclude from measurement. What would those things be? Secular things done by secular people with secular purposes in mind. Purposes that are not in line with God's purposes for the world. It may be that He wants us to exclude those things from counting. I think when you read God's Word, you discover that God despises measurements. Listen to this. God despises measurements that draw attention to human strength and human power and human capacity because they tempt us to base our actions and our decisions on human power and human capacity and human strength. Let me say that one more time. God despises, or at least in my view, God seems to despise measurements that draw attention to human strength and power and capacity because they tempt us to base our decisions and our actions on human strength and human power and human capacity. God dwells in weakness. Maybe we ought to be counting that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For in my weakness, I have imagined myself to be strong. In my own powerlessness, I have imagined myself to be powerful. Lord, with my few nickels and few noses, I have imagined myself to be wealthy and wise. And Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately, I got nothing. But I will boast, as with the Apostle Paul, in my weakness because you dwell there. And I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, to help us as a church learn to measure in a way that you measure. And that we will look to adding to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control godliness, and to godliness perseverance. And all of those metrics that you talk about in terms of things that we ought to count. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to exclude from count those things that tend to focus on our own strength. Lord, my mind goes back to that time when the hand appeared on the wall and wrote out to a great king, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, you have been weighed in the balance. You have been measured by the scales, and you have been found wanting. I pray, Lord, that our lives will be full up with you and the full measure of the deity of Christ. In whose name we pray now. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.